One record, beep, boop, two record.
Beep, beep, recording beep, now. Beep,
boop, boop. Okay.
All right, episode number 45. Here we go. I'll tell you what's new right off the bat, folks. It is hot. It is hotter than the backside of the moon in a solar eclipse. It's got to be 80 degrees in my house right now because somebody, I'm not going to mention names, didn't want to turn the AC on yet.
Well,
I don't blame her.
I didn't turn the AC on.
I mean, heat or air, either way, expensive, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
currently. It's already been over 80 here, and we just put all the fans on. We're not ready to budge yet.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of electronics, and I'm sitting there thinking, what's hotter, me or the electronics?
Hmm. Hey, did you get your tooth fixed?
Not yet. That's later on this month.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're going to have to replace the whole thing?
Well, they got to extract what's left and, and then I got to let that heal. And then they're going to give me one of those fake tooths.
Screw? Yeah.
No. It's just going to be like a bridge, You take it out, put it in the dishwasher, put it back in, you're good.
Yeah, I think that's how that works.
Yeah,
put it in the dishwasher.
They showed me the one where it's like, it looks like a soldering iron melted all over the inside of your mouth, And I'm like, that seems excessive for just one tooth.
Yeah.
Yep.
No more Mike and Ike's.
Yeah, no, it's sad.
Or New Mexico.
I'm good with no more New Mexico, but it's hard because I like the chewy candies and now I have to stay away from them because I'm getting old and all my teeth are falling out.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. But, I don't need teeth to play guitar, so that's good.
No. Yeah, that is good.
That's true.
Yeah. You guys, we got a lot of what's new stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. How about this? How about I just go ahead and hit music and then we get into it there instead of waiting 20 minutes in before we do it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let me see here. I got to find the application. There it is. Hopefully you can hear it. Oh, are you doing the intro, Amanda?
Absolutely not.
Rick?
No.
Oh. I guess I'll do it.
I don't do intros.
All right, I'll do it. Welcome back to another episode of the Pandemic Guitar Podcast, your favorite podcast when it comes to guitars, music, and everything in between. Maybe a little bit of family banter, too. I'm your host, Tim, and with me, as always, because they signed the contracts. I don't know why. Maybe on microphone number two, Rick, our dad, can tell us. How you doing?
Okay, how are you? And I didn't sign a contract.
You sure about that?
He's here against his will.
Being held hostage.
Yeah, speaking of being held against their will, I think that was Amanda on microphone number 28. Amanda, how are you doing?
I'm good. Hanging in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can feel the motivation behind the microphones today, so this should be fun.
We're tired, I think.
Tired.
What'd you do all day?
Did a lot of stuff around the house. Mom's getting ready to come out here for like over 2 weeks. So,
really?
Yeah.
She's there anymore, she might have to start paying California taxes.
I know. Thinking about charging her rent too.
This is an Airbnb. Come on over.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. No, but my husband has to go out of town for work after my surgery. So she's going to extend her stay and take care of me. So.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what else is new?
Oh, I have something. Okay.
Yeah.
So a listener pointed out, I know the last episode I had kind of mentioned different ways that we can celebrate National Guitar Month, right, for April.
Yeah.
A listener pointed out that another great way to celebrate is to go to a museum. And I know that we're not all of us, or live near a music or guitar related museum. But if you do, there's great museums like in Tennessee, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, and California. Obvious winner is Tennessee. And I think they have at least 8 music or guitar related museums, if not more. I kind of lost count, but definitely 8. So I thought that was kind of a good idea.
No, I don't know. I thought Guitar Box was my museum.
Yeah, well, I was just going to make that same joke because you go in there and everything on the top shelf has been there for like 6 years. It just doesn't move.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all used, right?
At some point.
I mean, people play them, but I guess it's like buying a car. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I feel like a guitar would last longer than a car.
Well, hold on. Is a guitar like a car where, oh, that rhymed, where, you know, when you drive a guitar off, or you don't drive a guitar off the lot, you drive a car off the lot and the value, it devalues. Like, is it the same with a guitar?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean.
Maybe.
Yes. It devalues, like, if you were to walk out the door and then go to your car, put it in the right door, the back right door, walk around the car, open up the left-hand door, take it out and bring it into the store, I think you wouldn't get the same price for it.
No. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, I wonder if anybody's done that. That's kind of like, that'd be funny. Dad, you should try that.
That would be a waste of money.
It would be. Well, I wouldn't sell it back.
No.
Yeah, but just to see how much less they're going to give you for the guitar than right. what you bought
I would
it for.
I would just do it just to see their reaction. Just have them be like, didn't I just sell this to you?
Yeah. Go outside, true. Put it in the car, just like, take it out, go back in. Yeah, I don't like it no more.
No, wait a second. I got to think this through because Guitar Box has a 75-day return policy. So I guess it wouldn't, in that situation, it wouldn't devalue.
Well, tell them you don't want to return it. You want to sell it.
Oh, then that would be a problem.
They're going to be like, okay.
That's true.
You know,
I never thought of that.
You know, what's funny is I was actually about, I don't know, 20, 25 miles from home with some friends. They were having a charity event and there was live music. So I got invited out. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll go check it out for a little bit. And I posted a little video of him playing on Facebook. If you haven't seen that yet, check it out. He was really good. But he had like 5 guitars that they were raffling off. And the proceeds go to support this family. And they were all, I sent you a pic. And they were all low end, I would say. There was a Squire Affinity. I think there was a Gibson Maestro, a couple silver tones, one that had to have been a parts caster because I didn't see a name or anything on it anywhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think they probably ended up getting maybe a max of $75, in the end. I don't know. I didn't stay the whole time. That's probably close to what they cost when they were brand new. I have to imagine.
Well, how many were there?
I think there were 5, you said, right? Yeah.
And it was $75 for all 5, right?
No, per. If it was $75 for all 5, I probably would have said, yeah, go ahead and figure how to put that into my saddlebags. I'll take it home. Because I did. It was so nice out yesterday. I did go ride the motorcycle. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would say probably whenever you go to an auction or something like that, you always pay more.
Auction.
A lot of times.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't like a auction where you have a whole bunch of guitar players and guitar people. You know, it was
charity.
Yeah, it was a charity. And I think that's more the case of, you know, hey, my kid expressed interest in playing the guitar. Here's a cheap guitar. And I say cheap as value wise, like the amount of money that it's going to take out of my wallet. And it goes to a good cause. So, you know, I kind of think that was the market for it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
That it does.
What else is new?
You're going to totally have to edit these spaces out. Next up that I have for some news. This is really more something for maybe Dad to talk about a little bit. But I just wanted to give him a shout out because he's kind of becoming the unofficial, how do you say it, luthier? Luthier?
That's correct.
Luthier? Yeah, luthier. Okay. Yeah. Of Iowa. Because he just repaired another guitar over the weekend, an acoustic guitar, for a young man who was just getting started with playing the guitar. So it's actually the grandson of our mother's friend. He was having problems with his guitar, so dad offered to, well, I don't know if he offered, but he was volunteered.
Yeah, voluntold.
Is that correct?
Voluntold.
He was voluntold. Yeah. No, but he put a lot of time and effort and a little bit of money into it. So, you know, to clean it up and make it better for this kid. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to do some minor stuff on it. You know, I mean,
another musical instrument that'll live to see another day, to play another note.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, just the bridge wasn't in the greatest shape and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not very expensive guitar, but it does what he needs it to do, and that's, you know, that's what counts.
He's just starting 100%. Out, so, yep. You know, I think it's good for that purpose, you know, if it keeps him out of trouble or keeps him busy or gives him a hobby. I think that's, you know, he could be like the next, like, you know, big rock and roll star, and dad could be like, hey, I fixed his guitar once.
Yep.
So. Could be. How's your guitar? Is that keeping you out of trouble?
Mine?
Yeah, yours.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I was going to say, I did pick it up and try to learn Mission Impossible. After our last episode, I had mentioned I want to try to play something easy. So I attempted Mission Impossible. I dusted it off, attempted to put on a YouTube video to watch. And I, you know, was tinkering around with a little bit. And then I was like, man, this thing's so out of tune. And then I tried to tune it. And then I got impatient. And then I was like, I'll put it down for tonight. And then dad sent me a how-to for what? Smoke on the Water?
Yeah, Smoke on the Water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't try it, but I listened to it. It sounded pretty easy. That's about as far as I got.
That's cool. I don't even remember, because I think Mission Impossible and Smoke on the Water, I think those are the first two that I was ever taught. I don't think I remember them. Sometimes I'll remember Mission Impossible, but I cannot remember Smoke on the Water.
Yeah. I was going to say, you mentioned that Mission Impossible will stay with you. So
yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, you're playing guitar and you're tooling around and, you know, you're like, okay, I'm tired of playing this riff over and over and over again. And then your fingers just do it, right? It's kind of one of those things where if you're like, oh, hey, pick up the guitar right now and play the Mission Impossible riff, I would be like, what?
No. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, there's a few riffs that I have that are like that, where it's like I learned them when I was, you know, a year plus ago. And I just was like even the Star Spangled Banner, when I first started learning on my own, that was the number one song. I wanted to learn how to play a variant of the Star Spangled Banner. And I learned it. And now if I were to pick up the guitar, I'd be like, how the heck did I do that again?
How un-American.
I know. Well, you know, hey, at least I learned it.
Okay. Well, I did look up something, and the Gibson Maestro that you were talking about, it was a acoustic, right?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, well, Guitar Box sold one for $99.99.
Well, yeah, isn't that like Gibson's like introduction?
It is.
You know, it's for like music class and stuff like that in school.
Yeah. It's, you know, just for learning and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, not a bad guitar. And supposedly all these five that were there, they were all from like the 60s. And of course, I wasn't interested enough to pick them up and look at serial numbers and try to figure if that was, you know, factual or not. But.
Right. Yeah, but. Still, it's vintage stuff.
Yeah. Exciting news. Exciting.
Well,
new.
That's debatable.
What? But how can you?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Joe Bonamassa is coming back to Des Moines later this year.
You guys are obsessed. You guys. But here, Joe B is like your Tay-Tay. You know what I mean? It's the equivalent.
You know what? I'll take
to Tay-Tay.
It. I'll take it. It, you know, it's not like you have many big name musicians coming to the area. I think the last one, I think Willie Nelson came to town, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to that.
Why?
Well, because you know, it's an outdoor event, and
oh, it was probably in the summer too, and it was hot.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was hot,
and you know, I'm just like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, who is it? I can't even think of the name. I got the concert later on this year, right off the top of my head. But that's an outdoor concert. But I think that one will be pretty low key. Oliver Anthony, I think, is that one.
What seats did you get?
Hold on.
Have we determined that you guys are indeed going to see Joe Bonamassa again?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. We bought tickets pre-sale.
Whoa. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have connections.
Yeah. It's called Instagram. I just, you know, scrolling through the Instagrams or the reels, as the kids say, I guess, I don't know. And it was, this Joe Bonamassa Civic Center, Des Moines, Iowa. And I'm like, what? So I go to look, and, tickets went on sale officially on April 12th. So this is after that. And, there was a pre-sale code. And it didn't click or whatever. So then I went back, I found the advertisement, I looked at the comments, and I found the pre-sale code. So I went back out and to the ticket website and entered in the pre-sale code, and I was able to buy tickets. So what were we in last year? Center stage, like row J?
Yeah, it was row J. We had, we were like, four seats in back of that, five seats?
Yeah, I want to say, yeah, I don't know if we had like L or M or what we originally had.
Right.
But we were able to move up. Yeah.
Yeah, went to the counter and asked if we could, you know, go, you know, jump ahead a little bit if there were any open seats there, and they let us have them. So they didn't charge us for that.
Yeah,
so that was nice.
And, yeah, so and I know after the concert last year, we're both like, if he comes back, if we get to go, you want to get closer, and we're both like, yeah.
Yeah, we actually are underneath the stage looking up.
Our seats are facing the same direction as everybody else, but behind stage.
Yes.
No,
we're just looking. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, we got super close. I think we're only like five rows back this year from the stage.
I thought it was closer than that. I thought it was second.
No, because you have I think three rows that are right up against the stage. Those are like your handicap seating and like it's like your AA, your AB, your AC, and then it goes like AB. So okay. I'm pretty sure we're actually five rows back. But still,
I thought we talked last time that if you guys go again to get a better seat, I said I had suggested to take Dad's knee out in the parking lot so you guys could get a better seat. And Tim said, hey, I might have to try that. I might have to do that next time. So, Dad, watch your kneecaps, I guess.
I know. I'm going to.
It's all fun and games until you're sitting there and realizing that somebody who actually needs that seat is there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, then you're like, oh, crap, I'm not such a great person anymore.
Oh, I have done that with the bathroom stall before with the wheelchair accessible one because I just think it's like a king size one and I totally forgot. And then I saw somebody wheel in. I was like, oh my gosh, I felt so horrible. And I hurried up and I got out and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I felt like the worst human being. And I don't do it anymore after that. So I'm just, you know, I learned my lesson. But you make a great point. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that story.
Some of us learn the hard way. So.
Yeah.
It was me.
It happens.
Yeah, so, it does. Yeah,
that's cool. We're going to see Joe Bonamassa this year. So, you know, yeah, hopefully that'll be a good experience like it was last year.
Yep, I'm sure. Joe, good old Joe B.
But that's not until November. So you guys have some time to
We do have some time to get matching t-shirts. And.
Yeah.
Yep. I got to get earplugs.
Oh, what? You can't find yours?
Well, I think I know where they are, but I have not located them yet.
Gotcha.
Dad, you need to make, or we need to order like some pandemic guitar podcast shirts so that you can have like the big logo on the back so that if you guys are really that close, you'll think of how many people behind you are going to see the logo on the back of your shirt and be like, oh, what is this? You know? And then we'll be just like famous around central Iowa.
Yeah, yeah, all 12 people.
Yeah. No, though, there will be a lot of people there. It's a Saturday night show, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there will be. You know what you got to do? Yeah. You got to do the logo with a QR code on the back so people, they don't even have to talk to you. They can just take their phone out, zoom into the QR code, and boom, take you right to the site.
Oh, yeah. That can't sounds like phones. Me.
Oh, outside you can, you just can't have them in the venue. And actually, I have to wave the BS flag on that because I remember last time we were sitting there and at first, you know, everybody was pulling out their phones and the staff, whoever they are, the volunteers, the staff, they were trying to tell people to put their phones away. And about 15, 20 minutes into the concert, they just gave up and said, whatever.
Yeah, you can't, I don't think you can stop that. Unless it's like a venue, like you said, Tim, that one time where they made you put your phone in a thing or something.
Yeah, which I hate that. I mean, here's my thing. Like, some people have jobs that they're on call or, you know, they might get a phone call. If that happens, you take a quick look at your phone. Oh, crap, got to take this. Put it back in your pocket and get out of there. Do your call, whatever you got to do, and come back in because you're not going to be able to hold a phone conversation in the venue. But, you know, again, the whole, you know, pictures and people taking video, you know, if it's policy that you don't do that, then just don't do that. And then we don't have to sit there in a situation where people are having to lock their phones in a bag.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, you have too many bad seeds out there that don't like to follow rules. So,
yeah, well, follow rules. They're there for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. And then all the people who do follow the rules have to, unfortunately, suffer the consequences. But
right. Yeah. They made me put my Apple Watch in a bag, too. And I'm like,
okay.
I can put my thing on do not disturb or silence. And then if I get a text message, I can quickly see it. But I can't record video from my watch. I guess I could record audio, but it would sound like garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, we have one more piece of news that I don't think you guys have heard about, but I don't know if anybody listened to our last episode. Hopefully you did, but we did make a little jab against ex-Triumph bandmate Rick Emmett.
Oh,
yeah, and I remember that. He has reached out to us. He's not very happy. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Jim's like sweating. He's like, what?
No, I'm sweating because it's 80 degrees inside my house. Oh,
that's true.
It is.
I'd have been
quite warm in here too.
Yeah, I'd have been like.
Yeah, mom and I are already making bets, Dad, how long you're going to last in that room. So just to let you know.
Yeah, is that on DraftKings? Let me log in.
I got the fan on.
Oh, well. Oh, thumbs up.
if Rick, what's his name, Emmett, actually reached out and been like, hey, I don't like what you guys said. Cool. Tell all your friends. Let them know about us. I don't care.
I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
No, that was good. That was a good one.
Yeah. I thought so.
And then, of course, somebody got some new strings, it looks like.
I did.
Well, of course.
I just figured, you know, I was talking about those SIT strings. And
Has anybody reached out to them to see if they want to become the official sponsor of a really awesome guitar podcast?
No.
That's really huge in Finland, just saying.
Huge.
Well, hey, guess what? Now we're also Brazil and Finland, are tied.
Wow.
I think Germany? I think all three of them were tied. So,
you guys were moving on up.
Yeah, be careful, Finland.
Yeah. better tell all your friend.
Yep.
All your friend.
Okay. Yes. Anyhow, I went out and I purchased. I think Tim, you got the a discount coupon for the SIT strings for the acoustic line.
Yeah. Did I give that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I bought you bought some originally and then said they were really good. So I went out and bought some and I was like, okay, I'm good. So I gave you the coupon code. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went out and I bought some acoustic guitar strings, 1252s, which I use on the Ibanez, and I bought two packs of those. And then I figured, well, let me get an extra light set. So I got 1048s just in case they're just too heavy or what have you. I think I got 12s on there now. So I think I just bought another, you know, an extra light version. And then I bought some power wound nickels, rock and roll strings. They're 9s through 46. And I put two packages of them for some of my electric guitars. And I picked up these weird strings from them, and I'm not sure what they really do. They're called Universal Balanced Tension. And they're nickel strings, and they're 09s through 40s. So I'm not sure on what these are going to do or how these are going to sound. But, you know, I know the people at home, right, you know, at the listening to this can't see the package. But
don't forget that those come with stickers, too, when you put in an order.
Oh, yeah. I got two stickers.
Oh, yeah.
So I can put one on my forehead. See?
Yep, that works.
So, yeah, I just figured I'd pick up some strings while they were on sale. Actually, not a bad sale. I think it was, what, 10% or something?
Something like that. Yeah, I mean, it was, you're saving some money. It was worth it.
Yeah. So, and then anything over $35, I got free shipping. So that's why I bought some extra strings there.
Cool.
So
nice. Came out yeah. there, I think, you'll have to let us know how they sound.
Yeah, well, with the discount and everything, it was like $36.
Nice.
So I got six packs of strings. So. Which is really nice. So,
very nice.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
Not a whole lot. You know, it's been pretty busy. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, just kind of trying to catch up and not mustard, you know, and here we are. And I thought maybe, you know, kind of a quick little topic to talk about, because I'm always interested in what people's thoughts are. Is, you know, like memorable riffs, you know, a song or two that, you know, you just know within the first few measures or the notes, you know, like, and, you know, I guess kind of two part, you could do your memorable riffs, and then you could also do like those songs that are just super easy to remember.
Right.
So like riffs, and I know, Dad, you have a wealth of music knowledge, and you probably know songs that we're not even familiar with. So you have any songs that would be memorable riff-wise? Like, you know, because this is another thing, too. What riff should I learn next? I need a new riff to learn.
Well, I looked at this in two different ways. I looked at it as... most of the times I can determine just by listening to a few measures of the music, I can determine who the artist is. But what I did is I thought hard and long, and I figured these are main riffs in the beginning of the song that actually they're iconic. So, I mean, one of them would be Smoke on the Water. That's by Deep Purple.
Of course. How many times have we said that one?
The next one would be Iron Man by, take a guess who that is. Any guesses?
What's his name?
Black Sabbath.
I was going to say Black Sabbath, man.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, I was going to say the guy that has to sing his lunch order because he can't understand them when he just... I saw that SNL skit the other night. I was laughing so hard.
SNL is still a thing?
Well, it is, but if you want to laugh, you have to go on the internet and look at historical skits.
The old ones.
Yeah, you got to go to the old school stuff. You can't. You go to the new stuff, and it's like, why bother?
Right.
Yeah. How about, as I said, these are all things that in the beginning of the song, you can actually tell.
Yeah.
Purple Haze? Who did that one?
Prince?
No, Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, that was my second guess.
Oh, so close.
What was so your close. Guess?
Huh?
What was your guess? Look,
I didn't have a guess, so it was a better guess than mine.
How about, this is an oldie, How about You Really Got Me?
You're stumping both of us.
I know the song, but I can't.
It's the Kinks.
Ah.
Yeah.
How about?
Never heard of it.
Here's one you should know. Sweet Home Alabama.
Uh-huh.
The starting of that song, I mean, it identifies right in the beginning. You know what song it is.
Right.
Yep.
And who is that by?
Creedence Clearwater Revival?
No, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, man. All right, edit that out, Tim, because I don't want to look like an idiot. All right?
No, Please let everybody in Finland know we did not bring our A game today.
Man, I just lost all my fans in Finland.
How about Layla?
Layla.
Oh, that's awesome. Eric Clapton. Song.
Eric Clapton.
Yep. There you go.
I know that one.
See, we should have made a game out of this.
Yeah, well.
All right. How about, here's an oldie, Sunshine of Your Love.
Unsure.
Cream.
Okay.
Okay. Here's a, this is popular back in the 70s. Really good song.
Oh, All I right remember now. Those years. Hey.
who did All Right Now?
I know the song. I don't know.
Free.
Okay. All right.
And then how about Walk This Way?
Aerosmith?
Aerosmith is
finally.
Correct.
All right. Got two right.
So those are mine. It right in the beginning, you know what the song is. You know who does it, you know the song, it's popular. Just by the beginning. First one or two measures.
See, I would go with like Eddie Van Halen, specifically Eruption. Like you just know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Prince, Purple Rain. Just about any Prince song. You know that one.
Yeah.
You know those riffs.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you have any, Amanda?
Yeah, I do. I didn't know we were putting them on the notes, so
no,
I just
fine.
Made a little
notes are for
list.
Losers.
Huh?
Notes are for losers anyway.
Well, it explains a lot about the both of you. Okay, so I have three. Okay.
Go ahead.
This first one, you're both gonna be like, what? All right. So this is the song. Okay, the first time I hear like the first riffs of this song, okay, Zombie by the Cranberries.
Zombie.
Yes. Oh, I love the Cranberries. It's a great song. It's a song about the troubles in Ireland, and it's a deep song. It's you know.
Oh,
it's a good song.
I thought it was about that grapefruit juice.
No. Grapefruit juice.
Yeah,
cranberry's not grapefruit.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, no. Yeah. Cranberry juice. Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. And then another one is Bad Moon Rising.
Oh, okay.
Creedence Clearwater Revival. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And an honorable mention, I'm going to say Tears in Heaven. And
that's a good one.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah. And I picked that one because that's one where you hear the beginning of it and you're like, you just know you're going to cry. You know, this is going to be a song to be hormonal to, you know, it's just, it's one of those. Yeah.
Well, now I'm never listening to that song again because I don't want to be, want to cry and become hormonal.
It's a sad song, you guys. Okay. Anyway, those are my picks. Pretty easy, but I wanted to do something different because then you have, Tim, you have another topic we're going to talk about here next, which it kind of sounds like the same as what we just said, but it's more rock song related. So I wanted to save my rock song picks for this next topic that you're going to talk about.
That was me. I put that on there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they kind of are both the same question, no?
Well, yeah,
but the first one was supposed to be just like those memorable riffs.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
these are,
go ahead.
These are memorable songs that are out there. Something that everybody can relate to. I mean, I went out, I guess one of the first ones, Stairway to Heaven, that I put, everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't play that in the Guitar Box store.
Mm-mm.
You get thrown out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was Wonderwall.
No. That one, the police come after you.
Ah, Just different levels.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is Freebird. Do you know who did that?
Nope. The Beatles?
No. The Beatles? What?
The Beatles?
No. Leonard Skinner.
Dang, Leonard Skinner again. He is not on my radar for some reason.
Okay. You know what this one is. Hotel California.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the Eglis.
Yeah. The Joe Walsh and the Eagles. Yeah.
I have a rule. I don't listen to any song about California.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I don't
blame you there.
Because I'm like, I live here, and what they're singing about it. I'm like, it is not that. They're lying to you. Okay. But I also live in the armpit of California, so.
Oh, that stinks.
Maybe if I lived on the coast, it might be better, but the next
song represents me, Comfortably Numb.
Okay. Wow. I don't know what that says about you. I think you might need therapy. Let me give you the number of my therapist, Dad. I don't even know what that means.
Comfortable? You never heard that song?
I mean, I probably have. I just don't.
Oh, that is a great song. You got to listen to it.
Who's it by?
Pink Floyd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, I've never really been a Floyd fan.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. The famous Michael Jackson. Beat It.
No. The best version of that song is Weird Al's. Hands down.
That's Beat It.
Eat It.
Yep.
Okay. Then the next one is a really oldie but goodie, Johnny Be Good.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Who did that one? And don't say Michael.
Chuck
say
Berry. Michael J. The guy from Back
Chuck
to the
Berry.
Future.
Correct.
That Am is I right?
Correct. Yep.
Ding Chuck ding Berry. Ding ding ding. No, every time I hear that song, I think of Back to the Future. Great movie.
Oh, and one of my all-time favorite songs, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Better get a tissue for it. Who's that by?
I wasn't expecting that.
Who's that by?
Get a tissue for Whoa. It.
Oh.
You got a little boogie.
You don't know who that's by?
No.
Oh, it's George Harrison.
Ah.
But the guy who played the guitar, even though George Harrison plays guitar, it was Eric Clapton that played on that album. We'll play that song with
him. Figure. Oh.
Yeah.
I like the one with Tom Petty and Prince and the whole gang. Was that the Highwaymen?
Yep.
That did that.
I think
one?
It was.
Yeah, that was a good cover of that song. I really liked that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, I think. Oh, you know what you should do is you should listen to Carlos Santana has a video called My Guitar Gently Weeps. It's really good.
Hmm.
Is that fairly new? I feel like I've recently seen that.
Yes, it's fairly new. It's probably maybe 6 months, 8 months, something like that. Maybe a little longer.
No, I think, didn't we start out at the beginning of the year like, hey, let's bring up any new music that's between episodes. I want to say that was one, or there was a Carlos Santana one, but I don't.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Yes, maybe. Yeah, maybe it is.
So I want to say.
Oh, but beginning of the year is only 4 months away.
Right. Good math.
But I think that. Yeah. That's the way I roll.
I do month math. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sometime in the last 10 years.
Hmm.
No. No, listen, watch the music video. It's really good.
Okay. That's it for you, Dad? Those are your picks?
Yeah. Do you have any to add to that?
Timothy?
You know, I actually probably was... I don't know why my notes aren't even on here. Probably because notes are for losers. but I think I was... I think I wanted to put Africa by Toto.
Okay.
I don't necessarily know if that one could
is
be
that
considered
a rock.
Rock
song? Yeah.
But, I mean, to me it is. Because all you got to do is like increase the BPM, like.
Okay.
I would anything off, just about anything off of either the Metallica Black and or Injustice for All album. I mean, those two would stand out to me.
Yep.
That's really all I have.
Yeah, I have three. Yeah. One of them is Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. I mean, you know, like the first, I know, but you know, like, you know, when you hear it, right? You know, right away.
Yep.
You know, right away.
you sure do.
The other one is AC/DC Back in Black.
What? Oh, okay.
What? That's like classic, but also it's one of those,
it's one of those that has been played so much that when you hear it, you're like, next.
Okay. When I hear it, I think of the Iowa Hawkeyes football because they run out on the field to that song. So actually, no, they don't. They get hyped up to that song and then they run out to the field on the next song. Metallica, Enter Sandman. There you go. Those are my three picks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Go Hawks.
There you go.
Well. Yeah.
Tim, look like you're about to throw up. What's wrong? You not like college football?
No, I don't. I don't like.
Oh, I
like
love college football.
Yeah, I just. Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, I'm not a big sports ball guy in general, but the college foosball and the women's basketball.
I don't do the women's next basketball.
I'll pass. Hard pass.
Yeah, basketball makes me tired.
Yeah, I'd rather watch like the Olympic sport of paint drying than either of those two.
Mm-hmm.
I was used to like hockey.
Yeah, hockey. But see here again, the reason why you watch hockey is the same reason why you watch NASCAR. Just to see a tragedy.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah. That's horrible.
That's why people watch.
Right. I mean, if you could just fast forward to the end. To the overtime, that's when everything happens.
That's true.
I mean, they beat the crap out of everybody with the hockey sticks.
Or they use their skates, their blades, and cut people's heads off.
Well, I wouldn't say they go that far.
Oh, yes, they do.
They do make a mess on the ice.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're still music-related podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
But hey, the more you know about us, I guess, the better. Or
debatable
or not, I don't know.
I think we have some music history though.
There you go.
Oh, I gotta play this one.
Yep.
It happened in the past.
I'm so sorry.
What can it be? It must be music history.
Ding dong.
Why are you laughing, Dad? It's not that funny.
Oh, it's just hilarious. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Just the mood I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Must be getting warm in that room.
Yeah. Oh, it's very warm.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna jump right into this so Dad does not have a heat stroke.
My strings are on fire, can you tell?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. First up. April 18th, 1987. MTV finally acknowledges the existence of heavy metal with the debut of Headbangers Ball, a weekly show dedicated to the genre. Now, Tim, do you remember the show?
I don't know.
Okay.
I watched MTV a lot growing up, but no, I don't remember. Like, I watched it back when it was 99% music videos, and then they would have the MTV Music News or something like that for an hour a day or whatever. That's when I watched it. As soon as they started getting into these reality shows and all that, I left that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't blame me there.
Yeah.
Same. It is not the same as what it used to be.
Yeah.
At
all. That used to be how, you could hear new music, get exposed to new music. Cause there was a lot of stuff that, there just wasn't a platform on radio to get, especially the heavy metal stuff, right? There was no radio station. So MTV was how you were introduced to that new music, whether you liked it or not, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's it. I really wish that they would go back to here's new music.
Yep. Yeah, they won't.
No.
I think reality TV may like probably makes more money. And not only that, I think about it. Who makes music videos anymore? Like I never think about a music video when I hear a song. Like back in the day when MTV was a thing, you'd hear a song on the radio and then you'd be like, oh, I got to see this music video. I got to see what it's about. It's like nobody really makes that connection anymore. Just like, remember the CDs that came with the pamphlet and the pictures and the lyrics? They don't have that anymore, really. Yeah, no, I don't even think they do.
That was back in the day when, you know, you spent, you know, $10 on a CD. You got a physical disc and you got something to look at and to read while you were listening to music. Now everything is downloaded or it's on YouTube. Yeah. And I would say that your music videos are primarily for your musicians who are trying to maintain a YouTube or Rumble presence.
Yeah, probably.
You know, because look at Burnth, B-E-R-N-T-H. Like he did that music video for YouTube.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He does a lot of stuff,
you know? Yeah. So I think if your primary, area of exposure is online, then you probably are going to still make music videos.
Right.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Yeah.
But like
I just Metallica, know it's not.
I don't think they're doing any music videos. I think they just have somebody that records their live shows and puts a collage together and boom, there's your 4.5 minutes. It's not really over telling that too. A story. I mean,
yeah, as a band though, I think they're all over that. You know what I mean? Like they've been there, done that. They've done the staged videos where they go, you know, it's like a little mini video and movie or whatever. And I think they're probably over it. I would be.
Well, I mean, they're big enough now that everybody knows them. They don't have to, you know, I think music videos back in the day was, you know, this is how you're going to be seen on MTV. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got these hard rock, heavy metal guys and gals, I imagine, that are like, oh, this is stupid. Why do I have to act to make a music video? You know?
Yeah, that is true.
You ever seen, there's a guy online, he takes music videos. And one of them is where, like, I can't remember which video it is, but Slash is playing, like, out in the middle of nowhere in front of this abandoned church. And they strip the music away, and then they just put in the sounds of the guitar, like, tink, 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 tink. And they're like, this is what it really sounded like. When.
Yeah. Uh-uh. No, I didn't see. I haven't seen anything like that.
They're kind of corny, but sometimes they're funny because, you know, you see it, you're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what that is. And then all you just hear the wind blowing and tink, 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 tink.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you're missing out.
I guess so. All right. April 18th, 2015. Stevie Ray Vaughan is inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame officially. That's crazy that it took so long after his passing.
Yeah, well, we've had some conversations about the good old Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yep.
Still blows my mind that that's in Ohio, by the way. Like, why haven't they picked it up and moved it to California or Vegas?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
So weird to me that that's in Ohio.
Well, Ohio needed something to be famous for.
I was going to say, who goes to Ohio? I don't.
Potato people.
I don't get it. That's Idaho.
Oh, my bad.
First of all, that's like people here when they're like, where are you from again? Ohio? And I was like, sure.
Ohio. Yeah.
Sure.
Ohio.
I have a t-shirt that is in the shape of, we got it when we went to Boise last time. And it's in the shape of the state of Idaho, but in the middle it says Iowa. And I just think that's hilarious because people confuse the two all the time. I'm like, there's a big difference. One is corn and one is potatoes. Like,
yeah, there's the amount of people that think Iowa is like in the deep south, like Alabama area, is kind of ridiculous. But yeah, no, Stevie Ray Vaughan inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2015. Yeah, it took forever. Yep. But I mean, you know, how long did it take for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to become really now they're the Music Hall of Fame more than rock and roll.
Yeah, that's true.
So
no, there's a great video out there of that day. I guess John Mayer, which I wouldn't have thought John Mayer, I guess. I don't know. I don't want to say this because I don't want to offend everybody. Anybody that listens, I don't even know. Does anybody even listen to John Mayer anymore?
No.
I don't know.
I do.
But I just, I didn't imagine him that he'd be able to learn how to play Stevie Ray Vaughan type stuff. But he played like some Stevie Ray Vaughan songs at this ceremony in 2015. And he was like really good. And I was like, wow.
And that video is online?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to go
it's
check
it out. It's on
YouTube.
Yeah,
I was shocked. You.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he also played a concert in New York City with Eric Clapton. And I think it was New York City. And Crossroads he played with Eric Clapton. Really, actually really good.
Yeah, I don't know why that surprises me about him. I don't know. Surprises me. But there you have it. All right. April 18th, 2023. A little bit more of a recent one here. Eddie Van Halen's iconic Fender Frankenstrat guitar that he played in Van Halen's music video Hot for Teacher sold at an auction for $3.9
million. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
You know, I had no idea about this guitar until I looked at it. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that one. No, apparently he used to smash this thing all the time, and then he would spend so much time after his performances, and he would like glue it back together or something, and then he would just keep smashing it.
Yeah,
and like rebuilding it, and then that's why it's like the Frankenstrat.
I didn't hear about the smashing it and stuff like that, but I do know, like he just it was a pure parts caster. I mean, he just mixed and matched and played around to get sounds that he wanted. And you know, I mean, I don't even know how many layers of paint is on that thing.
Yeah, it looks like 20, a lot.
25.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I mean, it kind of also goes to show that you don't need to have a $4,000 guitar to have a sound.
No.
That's you true. Can do,
yeah, you can have anything, basically.
You know what? Maybe I made that part up. You know who I was thinking of, I think, Dad?
Hold on. The whole dang episode.
We were having a conversation about one guitarist. Who is this guy? Peter Townsend?
Yeah,
Peter Townsend. Okay, that guy. That's who I was talking about. He used to smash up his guitars, and then he would like rebuild them, and then they would Yeah, that's the one. So I apologize to all of you Frankenstrat enthusiasts. I don't believe that was correct, what I just said.
It's okay. I think that's a super like highly cloned guitar too. Like everybody tries to replicate it.
Yes. Some interesting facts about it, but the guitar was made of the body is made of ash, which I didn't know. Usually they're mahogany. Or not mahogany, alder. So that's something different because Fender used to play around with that, with the alder and the ash stuff. And then he also modified it to fit a Gibson PAF humbucker in there, in the bridge position. And it also has a Floyd Rose tremolo, which is something unique to Stratocaster.
I want to say that's an Ibanez body. I don't think that's a Fender body. I don't recall, and I can be completely wrong. I only read like half of an autobiography, and I think they were just now starting to talk about Frankenstrat. I, for whatever reason, I want to say he used a lot of Ibanez parts. Again, I could be completely wrong.
Okay, so here's a story.
Because see the middle pickup cavity?
Right.
Has Fender ever done that where it's kind of almost like a triangle? Like, to me, that screams Jackson.
Hold on a second. Here, okay. I got the specs on it.
Okay.
Okay. Van Halen bought the Frankenstrat Northern Ash body for $50 in January of 1977 from Wayne Charvel.
Okay. So it's Charvel. So
it's probably a Charvel, which is Fender, basically. Let me see. What else does it say here? It's a factory second body. That's why you got it for the discount price of $50 due to a knot in the lower cavity of the cutaway. Maybe that's what you're seeing is the knot.
No,
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
So, and then he had, for $80, let me see here, he acquired a Boogie Body's Neck, which I'm not familiar with them, but it had jumbo frets on with a brass nut, so with the large Strat headstock. So, I mean, Frankenstrat, yeah.
Okay.
You know.
I guess.
All right. Well, we'll take your word for it.
If that's what Wikipedia says.
It's not mine. It's what Wikipedia says.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay.
Well, Wikipedia is always right. We know that.
Well, yeah.
No, but it's more right. You know. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure that that's probably the specs of the final resting product, because I'm sure that throughout the years he had tried many different pieces and parts and, you know.
Yep. But 3.9 mil.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the price of a one-bedroom apartment in California, isn't it?
100%. Like, super close.
Like, I could take the cardboard box my water heater came in, paint it, put it in California, and get at least 2.8.
I mean, that's what the homeless are doing already, so
wow. Makes sense. See, they're going to become real estate rich.
I think so.
Okay. There were actually multiple Frankenstrats.
Yep.
There's he called it the VH2. Yeah, it was a hybrid Charvel that he took on tour 1979, and it was called the Bumblebee is what he called it. It was black and yellow.
It's stripes. a lot less cooler than the Frankenstrat. The Bumblebee?
Yeah.
Boring.
And he had another Frankenstrat, which was a Fender and Charvel, heavily modified.
Yeah, I think everything he had was heavily modified until he got older.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he had a few of them.
Yeah, sounds like it. Only one of them sold for 3.9 mil.
Good facts.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we're coming right up on that time. So, you know,
I see that.
I know that somebody listening to this podcast is about to pull in the driveway or the parking lot at work, and they're going to need to sign off. So we should probably do the same. Anybody got any ideas, any thoughts, something to think about for what would be coming up in the next episode here in 2 weeks? Anybody got anything?
No, I mean, no, but I know we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll figure
something out. Oh, we always do.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice listener can give us a little inspiration.
Yeah. We need some help.
We do.
All right. Well, until next time when we come back with another great episode of something guitar related.
Yep.
Oh, wait. You gotta walk us out of here. Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself.
The outro here. Yeah. All right. We thank you for hanging out with us today. If you're so inclined, let us know what you thought about this episode by reaching out to us on Instagram at Pandemic Guitar, by email, pandemicguitar@icloud.com, and also on Facebook. Please also let us know whose mic you'd like us to shut off next episode. Until next time, keep on playing or don't. We won't tell.
That was funny.
Adios, muchachos.
There you go.
See everybody later.
Bye.
Yep. Bye, everybody.